Welcome to Physics and Religion, a series of podcasts exploring the interaction between modern science and traditional religion. I am your host, Dr. Albert Stets. We have been trying to understand consciousness, but neither has neuroscience a vision, nor have the claims of artificial intelligence, nor has physicalism with all its objections given us much understanding. Let's try another approach and look into the phenomenon of free will. On an early morning in May 1987, Kenneth Parks got into his car and drove 23 kilometers to the house of his wife's parents. He attacked both of them with a kitchen knife, killing the mother and leaving the father seriously injured. He awoke to find himself covered with blood. Terrified, he drove to the nearest police station and turned himself in. At trial, Parks argued that he was automatistic and not criminally liable. From the doctor's evidence, it was determined that the accused was sleepwalking at the time of the incident, and that he was suffering from a disorder of sleep rather than neurological or psychiatric or other illness. Five neurological experts also confirmed that he was sleepwalking during the time of the incident. The jury acquitted Parks. The case went all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court. Parks was acquitted at each step along the way. There are similar cases on record from other countries, but this one is especially clear-cut and puzzling. If I killed my in-laws, I would be convicted. It would be assumed that I was aware of the difference between right and wrong, that I was free to choose between them, and I, in fact, chose the wrong. Parks, on the other hand, did not have free will. He could not choose. He was not guilty. Here our common sense hits a snag. First, was Parks conscious? He was able to get out of the bed, get dressed, and drive his car to the distant location. No doubt along the way he obeyed all the traffic laws and stopped at all the red lights. He found the house and found the kitchen knife. If we assume that he was not conscious, then he calls to mind our old friends, the philosophical zombies. He behaved in all respects like a normal person, but he was not conscious. Why did he commit the murder and attempted murder? Again, the facts of the case are particularly clear-cut. The evidence presented in court showed that he was on the most cordial terms with his in-laws. Where, then, did the motivation to commit murder come from? Finally, if he did not have free will when he was sleepwalking, and did when he was awake, it seems that free will is something that can be switched on and off. If so, where is the switch? Our intuition, as well as our legal system, are convinced that we have free will. There is a logical argument to that effect as well. If I did not have free will, I would be under no compunction to tell the truth. What I am telling you might be complete nonsense, or it might be an assortment of lies. If you are to take seriously anything I say, you must assume that I have free will. Unless we make this assumption for everyone, communication and community become impossible. With this in mind, you may be surprised to know that among philosophers and neuroscientists, free will is the minority opinion. Why might we not have free will? There is a physics argument that goes back to Einstein. I need to tell you one simple thing about relativity. Simultaneity is relative. What that means is simply this. From our perspective, Thursday comes after Wednesday. In principle, there could be observers moving relative to us at a speed close to the speed of light for whom Wednesday comes after Thursday. The fact that this is wildly impossible in practice is of no consequence. In principle, it is a simple consequence of relativity. If you ask what day really comes first, Einstein would reply that this is a meaningless question. Simultaneity, and with it the whole business of what comes first, is relative. Now, let me tell you a story about Vogons. If you have read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or seen any of the various movie adaptations, you will know that the Vogons are an intensely bureaucratic people. Things can only be decided after many meetings and endless filling out of legal forms. In this spirit, there was a meeting held on a Wednesday to decide whether to destroy the Earth to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. The decision was positive, and the warships were launched the following day. As you know, of course, the Earth was destroyed many years later. The point is this. For some observers, the ships were launched before the Vogons decided to launch the ships. And of course, the Vogons would never allow such a thing. How are we to understand this? Einstein's answer is that past, present, and future are in place. Time is not something that flows like a river past us. Rather, we move through time, encountering all our life's events as we go. I can't even say that the past, present, and future exist now, or that they have always existed, because now and always carry some sense of temporality. Okay, back to the Vogons. Imagine a landscape where there are two monuments, one labeled decided and one marked launched. People are wandering through this landscape. Some will pass decided and then go on to launched. Others will pass launched and then go on to decided. Physicists call this block time. It implies that everything you do in your life is already in place. It seems that you have no choice. But the more I think about it, the more ambiguous it becomes. Tomorrow, do I dare to eat a peach? I'm quoting T.S. Eliot, of course. My decision is already in place in the landscape of events. But perhaps my freely deciding to eat or not to eat the legendary peach is also part of the landscape. This paradox illustrates the difficulty we have in explaining exactly what free will is. But it also calls to mind the principle I enunciated in connection with solipsism. A theory that cannot be proved wrong under any circumstances should not be taken seriously. I would like you to think about the following argument. Physicists like what we call operational definitions. We think a concept is not meaningful unless you can propose some measurement or experiment to define it. Whether the experiment is possible in practice is of no consequence. For example, the unit of charge is the coulomb. It is defined by saying that two charges of 1 coulomb each, placed 1 meter apart, would exert a certain, and it turns out, enormous force on one another. The experiment is not possible. 1 coulomb is a huge charge. The force is inconceivably large. So, can you think of an experiment, however impracticable, to decide once and for all whether anyone has free will? My idea is to use a time machine. Our test subject, call him Albert, makes a decision between two alternatives, A and B. He chooses A. We send him back in time to yesterday. If this test is to be meaningful, we must set everything back 1 day including his own memories. Now we will see the second time around whether he chooses A or B. Alas, if he chooses A, we could argue that he chose A because that was, in fact, the best choice, and after free consideration, he chose it again. We could also say that he chose A because he had no choice. If he chooses B, we could argue that that proved that he was free to make a different choice this time. We could also assume that there was some random, unpredictable element to his choice, and he randomly chose B. So far as we can tell from this thought experiment, free will is a meaningless concept. I will return to the issue of meaninglessness in the next podcast. For the time being, let us see what the philosophers have to say. Here is the classic argument. Everything that happens in the universe happens because of some prior chain of events. Our thoughts and actions are events in the universe. Therefore, they are caused by some prior chain of events, which may go back to the beginning of the universe. Therefore, we have no free will. A more modern formulation would have to allow for the fact that quantum mechanical events happen randomly and unpredictably, and complex nonlinear systems, which include almost everything in the universe, tend to behave in completely unpredictable ways. It's not clear that this says free will, however. It rather means that our behavior, rather than being predetermined, is mostly random, for reasons over which we have no control. According to Wikipedia, the field remains highly controversial. There is no consensus among researchers about the significance of findings, their meaning, or what conclusions may be drawn. The precise role of consciousness in decision-making, therefore, remains unclear. But is this really incompatible with free will? At this point, philosophers divide into two camps called, not surprisingly, compatibilists and incompatibilists. The compatibilists claim there is a flaw in the argument I just presented. Freedom and the sort of determination, or determinism, that I have just described are not inconsistent. If we define carefully what we mean by freedom, we will see that we can have our cake and eat it too. Freedom, they say, is the ability to do what we want to do, to choose what we want to choose. Suppose I am given a choice between alternatives A and B. If I chose A because I wanted to, and could have chosen B if I had wanted to, then I am free. If I am coerced to take A, then I am not free. There are many situations, however, in which this doesn't make sense. A drug addict, for example, desperately wants a fix. He has the money, and his favorite dealer is ready to make a sale. It seems odd to say that the addict is free when he is driven by his addiction. Hypnosis makes another good counterexample. The hypnotist can say, "When you wake up, you will badly want to give me your money." The subject awakens and complies. Another try at compatibilism goes like this. You are free to make a particular choice if you could have done otherwise. I offer a bizarre thought experiment that suggests otherwise. Suppose you are given the usual two options, A and B. You want to choose A, and you eventually do. But unbeknownst to you, our friendly hypnotist has implanted a post-hypnotic suggestion. If you should ever change your mind and decide to choose B, a hypnotic trigger will force you to choose A. So you freely choose A even though you could not have done otherwise. This is a way of introducing the idea of second-order desires. A second-order desire is a desire about desires. Think about the drug addict. He desperately wants his fix, but he wishes he didn't have such desires. This is a second-order desire. The addict is not free because he cannot act in accordance with his second-order desires. But even this doesn't capture the essence of freedom. Suppose our drug addict is so habituated in his addiction that he values his lifestyle. He looks forward to his daily trips to his dealer. Every morning he wakes up looking forward to his day. "Ah," he says, "today I'm really going to get high." He is acting in accord with his second order desires, but he does not really seem to be free. Our final try at compatibilism is called contextualism. Perhaps the meaning of freedom depends on context. Here's an example. Suppose you were robbed at gunpoint. Our cliched mugger says, your money or your life. Perhaps in the context of the nexus of the universe, you are not free. Who cares? Leaving that aside, are you free to refuse? Yes and no. Yes, if you don't mind having your head blown off. No, if you want to make a wise decision regarding your future life. Perhaps the word freedom is meaningless without some specification of context. This brings us back close to common sense. Perhaps every complete specification of context should contain clauses such as, in the absence of drug addiction, in the absence of armed robbers, in the absence of federal or state laws forbidding the action, in the absence of mad hypnotists, and so forth. When we judge a man guilty or innocent of some crime, it is always within some implied context. Was the accused sane and mentally competent? Are the relevant laws applicable? Was the evidence handled properly? The laws of classical and quantum mechanics are simply not relevant in this context.